everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. She was raised a Mormon, but would come to find true peace through a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. From four films with Ronald Reagan and 40-plus other leading roles with Hollywood's male and female elite, this iconic screen legend shares the story behind her story and her humanitarian efforts to ease the pain of suffering and lighten the load for those with nowhere to turn. Her own experiences will thrill you, but her compassion will compel you. God gave Rhonda a platform on the world stage, which she is gloriously using today for His glory. 89 years young and still going, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome with me to testimony, a rare honor indeed, and a rare beauty inside and out, legendary screen actress, singer, philanthropist, humanitarian, wife, mother, and grandmother, the fabulous Rhonda Fleming. Rhonda, welcome to testimony.
Well, thank you, darling. It's just so good to talk with you. I'm so proud of what you're doing. We need more and more people working for the Lord, I'll tell you.
Well, thank you, and it's an honor, and you are doing that as well. I am so happy for you to be with us here today on a program where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. And that's exactly what you have done all your life and are continuing to do. But before we get to that, can you share with our listening audience how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, having been raised a Mormon, and why?
Well, Jeanine, I was my mother was a devout Mormon, and my father was not. So I was raised a Mormon, really, by my mother. I'd known about God ever since I was a little girl, but as a child, I would sit next to my mother in the Wilshire Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I was a little girl, so I was painting things and drawing things. Mother was listening to the minister, but I kept staring up the beautiful stained glass. Piece was huge. It was above the way up above the, by the ceiling. And I used to look at that as a little girl, and I'd see, wondering what this man is doing, just kind of knocking on a door or something, and then found out that it was Jesus knocking at the door of one's heart. I didn't understand it at the time, but I was just drawn to that figure of Jesus. And when I was old enough, I became baptized and a member of the church, and I enjoyed performing for them because I loved the Mormons, and I loved to sing, and also performed in a play with Lorraine Day, who was also Mormon. And as it turned out, my parents separated when I was about 10 years old, and my father, whom I dearly loved, suddenly moved to San Francisco, and 2 years later, my sister married and also moved to San Francisco, and I guess I felt very alone because my mother was gone a lot, so I subsequently married at the age of 18. I fell in love with my first love, and later, my wonderful sister-in-law invited me to go to Forest Home, which was a Christian retreat center in the mountains here, where I heard more about my need to invite Christ into my heart and have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you know what? I did just that, because I was born again, which I just thank the Lord for all the time, because it made such a difference in my life.
Well, Rhonda, in going through your magnificent collection of articles and past interviews, I noticed that there was a thread of loneliness that seemed to emerge. And as you've just reiterated in brief, really you are the product of a broken home. Your father was distant. Your mother was famous and rarely home. Did this way of growing up help to prepare you for Hollywood, since you say that you did not even have one acting lesson and here you emerge as a star?
Well, I think I developed or inherited that actually from my mother, who was a very famous actress and model in New York, and my grandfather, who was a very famous actor in Salt Lake City. But I know I had that. God gave me that gift, but I didn't even realize that that's what it was until years later. But I had a wonderful sister who was 5 years older than I, little children, we weren't close, but growing up, she was always there for me and became, I would say, my best friend and a mother figure to me. And after my mother and father, or my father and my sister both moved to San Francisco, I kind of found myself even more alone when, at the young age of 15, my mother lived with a friend, on a six-week world cruise, leaving me with my aunt, who was also my voice coach. And even stranger was she just prior to her leaving, she'd taken a photo of me in our backyard, which, unbeknownst to me, she sent to RKO Studios in response to a talent contest being held. It was called Jesse Lasky's Gateway to Hollywood. And the winner of the contest, which never filled film contract with RKO, well, I was with my aunt, and they contacted her. I guess I was only 15. I must have looked a little bit older because they contacted her, and she took me over to RKO, where I was tested on camera in a beautiful Irene Dunne gown, and just discovering that my mother had fudged on the age requirement to enter the contest because you had to be 18 years old to be on it, and I didn't want to lie, so they encouraged me to keep a secret about my young age of 15, and they let me try out. So they had me sing a song they selected, also read some lines from a script, and I did well enough to advance to semifinals, which were held in June on Father's Day. So my dad came into town to root for me, making it all more memorable, and I was a very shy 15-year-old. I was equally elated and surprised when Jesse Lasky made the winning announcement. There's one very proud father in the audience tonight. He's Harold Lewis. His daughter, Marilyn, just won the semifinals. What a thrill that was for me. Unfortunately, Dad wasn't able to get away to come with me to the finals, which are being held all the way in Des Moines, Iowa, and I was put on a train with the other much older finalists, which proved to be a lonely and scary train ride considering my age and that I was traveling alone for the first time. And when we finally arrived in Des Moines, where we were given the red carpet treatment, literally the red carpet was rolled out, the evening's event finally began, and we were each given about 5 minutes to perform. I'd been assigned a song entitled Suppose I'd Never Met You, which I've never heard of and have never heard of since. It wasn't a good song for me, although I did my best. But after this, the grand winner was announced, and it wasn't me, but rather a big buxom blonde from Texas who'd sung The Man I Love. I was so disappointed, devastated, and embarrassed knowing my friends back home had been listening on the radio. But I just remember everybody left. I'm standing alone in the wings. The red carpet was rolled up, and everyone gone with tears streaming down my face. Something happened that would prove to be, I would say, one of God's many miracles in my life. Because while I was standing all by myself, everybody gone, this actor, Gene Herschelt, I didn't know at the time, but he was a great actor, had been one of the judges. And he just now appeared out of nowhere, and he put his arm around my shoulder, handed me his hanky, and he said, Marilyn, you have a lovely voice, and I want you to remember that it's not always the winner of a contest who ends up a winner in life. I want you to go home and work some more. You're going to be a success. You can't see it now, but someday you'll be lost. You'll be glad you lost. In life, sometimes you must lose as well as win. Just give yourself time. And for his gentleness, his kindness, and understanding, he'll always hold a very special place in my heart. And I believe God must have sent him at that moment. I'll tell you, it was so something I never forgot. And I was about some years later, as World War II was underway, I'd achieved some success in Hollywood at that time, and I was on a tour of factories going down the assembly line and meeting those wonderful Rosie the Riveters, when who should I see but that same buxom blonde who'd won the contest. It was at that very moment I recalled Mr. Herschelt's advice to me as I realized the winner of that contest many years prior had not gone any farther in her career, although she was helping the war.
Wow, that's tremendous. Now, if you had to name some of your favorite leading men and women that you've worked with and why, and also pick just one favorite movie of all time, what would that be?
Well, I think my favorite leading men I fondly refer to as the three Bs, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Burt Lancaster. And, of course, I've got to add the wonderful Ronald Reagan, with whom I made 4 films. What a treat that was. Yeah. And as far as a leading lady, I'd have to say Ingrid Bergman certainly tops the list, because I'd been summoned to meet with my agent, David O. Selznick, because he was ready to make a big budget film called Spellbound, and I was sitting in his office with the film's director, the incredible Alfred Hitchcock. They handed me a piece of paper, which was called a cold reading, and no experience. I nervously read it. So, but on the first day of the set, I met Ingrid, and I'm tall, and she's a little tiny bit taller. She had on flat heels, and I had on little heels. She looked at me so approvingly, and she said in her heavy, heavy Swedish accent, she said, "Oh, I'm so happy to work with another actress who is tall." Because in those days, they'd either put you, you know, if you're short, he'd put you in a some kind of a box or in a hole or something. So I just loved her. She was the most beautiful, lovely, and talented actress. And I saw her in Israel many, many years later when she was making the Golda Meir story. And she was bravely dealing with cancer, but with all the strength that she had, she finished the film, and she was great in it. I'll never forget her as long as I live, yes.
Well, that's tremendous.
The favorite film, I'd say, would be A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court because of Bing Crosby. It was such a thrill working with him. He gave me my first starring role, and he would let me star above the title with him because he never wanted to star alone.
Well, now back to your faith, Rhonda. If there is one thing that you noticed immediately after accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what would that be?
Oh, my, I think I began to feel a little bit more confident and secure. I guess it's like being a child starting to grow, but in the Lord. And like children, you just don't get it right away. You learn as you grow. All I know is for sure is that it changed my life and made me a new woman in Christ when I just accepted Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to legendary Rhonda Fleming. Rhonda, it's so great having you here with us today in part one of our two-part conversation. Well, Rhonda, in our next segment, I would like to focus on your humanitarian and philanthropic efforts and how anyone, no matter what their background, upbringing, or situation in life, can make a difference, as you have so beautifully done and continue to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to legendary actress, singer, philanthropist, and humanitarian Rhonda Fleming. Rhonda will be back with us next week to share more of her incredible life and story on Testimony. In the meantime, please visit Rhonda's website at www.rhondafleming.com. You will be amazed and thrilled. Rhonda, thank you for being with us today on this program. Your life is a gift that continues to give. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you, Jennison. It's been a real treat, and I bless blessings to all of our listening, and that the Lord will just protect them and guide them according to His will, in Jesus' name.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries, and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, jensenebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard just a thimble of the extraordinary life of legendary actress and Hollywood icon Rhonda Fleming. Her life story, 40-plus films, and a beauty that has graced the cover of every magazine, theater, television, and concert stage is a true Cinderella story indeed, and one that could justify leaving its mark right there on life's Hollywood Walk of Fame. But not so for our next guest. Here to share part two of her amazing life that needs a movie on its own is the flaming redhead with the emerald green eyes, the world called the Queen of Technicolor, but Jesus calls a daughter of the King. Ladies and gentlemen, a great honor indeed, screen legend, singer, philanthropist, humanitarian, and my very special guest, Rhonda Fleming. Rhonda, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, darling. It's so wonderful to come back and talk with you. I'm excited that we can maybe touch people out there that might want to know a little bit about my story, and I pray that it will be a blessing to them.
And it certainly will be, and thank you for being with us here today. Rhonda, your life took a swift turn when your sister Beverly was hit with a disease that would eventually take her life. Would you talk about how that affected your life and what steps you took to help improve the life of your sister, the miracle of prayer, and the legacy you have now left to honor her memory and those stricken with the disease of cancer? Rhonda, please tell us that story.
Yes, honey, when my precious sister had ovarian cancer that she'd battled for years, she called me one day and she said the doctor wanted to do some surgery on her and she needed another opinion. So I said, honey, come on down from up north and stay with me. And I was just panicked because I loved her so much. I didn't want anything. I just wanted to hang on to her forever. And I called my friend Armin Hammer, who was starting the Stop Cancer charity, and I was a founding member of it. He set up an appointment for us with a top doctor at UCLA. And at that point, her cancer had was at stage 4. And we were very disappointed with the care we were given at that time. But I found out they were going to build a brand new facility at UCLA that was in the number 123 building. It's number 2 building there. And it's like I felt the strong hand of God telling me to really kind of pushing me a little bit. It was hard to explain it, but he was wanted me to go over and see it, and I really didn't want any more to do with cancer. I said, I don't know why I would go over there, but I did. And I called my husband, Ted Mann, then, who fortunately he had the money to even help me with whatever I wanted to do there. And we went to the 4th floor there on the 2nd building and saw this big 6,000 square feet of space that could house doctor offices and rooms for the patients. And all of a sudden, as I stood at the entry, I just envisioned a place where women would walk into a warm, inviting place with warm colors, beautiful paintings and plants, and an environment that would take away all the fear. And I just envisioned it. It was like God wanted me to start something there. And I told my sister, Beverly, I said, honey, I think, we're going to have a new place that will help women and their families and their going through cancer as we have. And she said, oh, honey, I'm so glad. Just always, always make it a place of hope. And that's just what we did and started the Rhonda Fleming Clinic for Women's Comprehensive Care. 1 year later, on the 5th floor, we established the Resource Center for Women with Cancer, for women who, for their family, they need to deal with the consequences of cancer, and they need privacy. And then on the 1st floor, we put the Reflection Shop, which was also started with had carried wigs and turbans and prosthesis and with all the personal private care that all began there, and we helped so many women. It was all because of my sister, Beverly. It was truly a real place of hope.
Wow, what an honor. Thank you so much for sharing that, Rhonda. You know, there's been much written about you, even though you don't have a book out about your life, and you should. So let's do our best today to kind of capsulize all that you've done in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to legendary actress Rhonda Fleming, part 2 of her story today here on Testimony. Rhonda, your life is a life of miracles. Can you tell us about one that stands out most in your mind and why?
Well, one that I've had so many miracles in my life that I believe so strongly in miracles. Well, all who's listening believe, because when you love the Lord and you ask Him to help you with all your heart and soul, He is there. It was about 20 years ago when I was doing Kismet at the Music Center in Los Angeles, and I had previously been diagnosed as having a thyroid tumor, and they put me on medication, and I just felt like I was being poisoned and could barely get through my stage performances. In fact, I went home one night to take something out of the refrigerator. My left arm just dropped down, and it was scared the heck out of me because I had more shows to do at Kismet, and I could only use my right arm. I had no understudy, and I was I had to somehow get through the last few weeks of the show, and I was just embarrassed because I really couldn't. Kismet, La Lume, because when you raise your arms up and they're strong. Mm-hmm. But I did the best I could. And then my husband said he would take me to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and we'll have you checked out after the show is over to see a specialist. And we went to see the specialist. Sure enough, they diagnosed the tumor and said it was necessary to stay and have surgery and have it out, removed. And it was near the holidays, and my husband just said, I think we should return home to L.A. and return to Mayo for surgery after the first of the year. Well, I wanted to stay there and get it over with. But anyway, I'm very glad we decided I should wait, because one morning I was lying in my bed and a little despondent over my diagnosis when I turned on the television without even thinking to a Christian broadcast where they were having a week-long prayer healing service. I was not even listening, but I all of a sudden heard these wonderful miracle healings, and I sat straight up in bed and I thought, wait a minute, I believe in miracles. I could be healed of this tumor. I know it. I had such a burning desire. I wanted that healing, and I believed that I could be healed. So I took the number off the screen. I got on my knees. I called the number and asked God to give me the right counselor. A woman came on, very businesslike, and said, how can we help? And I told her my story. She said, all right, let's pray. And as I was praying with her, so help me God, about halfway through the prayer, I felt this warmth, a warm heat go right through my thyroid, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I was healed. I couldn't wait to hang up the phone, and I called the doctor who had originally diagnosed the tumor 4 years earlier, and I went to see him the next day, and he pressed and prodded in my neck until I finally said, you know, you're choking me, but I'm sorry, but I can't find it. And I said, you know, doctor, you're not going to find it. It's gone. He says, why did you think that? And I told him. He said, you know, I believe it. If you go agree to having the x-rays repeated, as well as all the earlier tests that have been done, to prove up the earlier tumor diagnosis. And I said, okay. When it was all completed, there was no sign of the tumor. It was completely gone, and I know that God instantly healed me. That's why I so believe in miracles. Wow. He saved me so many times from drowning and being knocked unconscious twice from horse falls, stupid things that I did, you know, taking chances in films and all. And by his grace, I didn't end up in a wheelchair. He must have had a higher purpose for me, or I surely wouldn't be here today.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to legendary actress Rhonda Fleming, 89 years young and still going strong. In part two, we're talking about Rhonda's life, her miracles, and humanitarian efforts all across the globe. Rhonda, would you talk about some of those humanitarian efforts you are most passionate about and why?
Well, for one, because I love helping people, but after I did the clinic at UCLA, I went over to PATH, People Assisting the Homeless, which is a place that my pastor's wife, Claire Orr, got me at church one time, and she told me about this big building in Hollywood that they wanted to start a place called PATH, and I guess it must have been once a warehouse and crews. Well, we went there. I put on a hard hat, walked through the building with her to put together four floors to provide a safe, clean environment for the men, women, and children, providing them training, education, and personal care, and programs offering everything needed to get them back on their feet and on a path toward happy, healthy, and productive lives. And I just felt the Lord directing me to get involved, and I did just that, and have established the Rhonda Fleming Family Center there at PATH. And it's just such a thrill to go down there and see the mothers and children that have a safe place to stay with lovely, clean, you know, beds, and they're in a safe place. And it's an incredible place located in Hollywood. It's now growing, and it has additional locations serving thousands of people every year. I mean, I can't even remember how there were so many. I hope your listeners would look at their website at www.epath.org. It's amazing, and I'm just so proud to be a part of their work. So have a chance to look on the website when you can.
Great. Thank you for that, and that's fantastic. You've also received many awards in your lifetime, too numerous to mention here. Rhonda, can you tell us the one that means the most to you and why?
Pinpoint just one, because my past awards from Child Help, the League for Children, Johnny Grant's Hollywood Walk of Fame Award, they've all meant a lot to me. But perhaps rather than award, I would have to say that the most rewarding aspect of my life has been in helping others. And I'm just grateful that the Lord has made that possible. That's the best award that I could ever get.
And is there a life scripture you hold on to as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? What scripture is that?
Well, there's one scripture that I've always loved. There's so many scriptures I love, but this one sort of sticks with me because it's Psalm 50:15, and it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me." I can only tell you he's rescued me so many times, and I'm just doing my best to get out there and honor my best friend and Savior, Jesus Christ, all the time.
Amen and amen, and you have certainly done that and continue to do that today. You are 89 years young. You're fabulous. How important is it to leave a legacy, Rhonda, and what would you like yours to be?
Well, I think in leaving a legacy is important, especially if it could be a good one. I think for me, to use what name value I have for the good of helping others who need assistance and a helping hand is what's important to me. And I think more than even making films, to use that name value for good, that's what's important to me. But it is good for all of us to leave some kind of a legacy.
Amen. Any last words of encouragement, comfort, and hope you can give to our listening audience as you are still thriving, still stunning? What's your secret?
Well, we all go through trials, and I've certainly gone through mine, and whatever you go through, trials in every stage of your life, it can make you stronger and wiser if you place your life in God's hands and let him guide and direct you. Trust in him to show you the way, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And when you're born again, all things are new. The past hurts are forgiven and gone, and you just keep praising God for everything because he is our strength and in our weaknesses. So never give up. Give it all to him.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the extraordinary Rhonda Fleming, screen legend and Hollywood icon, singer, humanitarian, philanthropist, mother and grandmother, and wife to Daryl Carlson, a gift of a husband and a miracle all on his own. If you would like more information on how you can help change a life through Ms. Fleming's philanthropic and humanitarian organizations, please visit www.rhondafleming.com. And don't forget to take a listen to her beautiful voice, movie video clips, and much, much more. Rhonda, it has been an honor indeed. God richly bless your life, your work, and your ministry for him. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. God bless all of you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.